Hold on your hat. Yep, yep, yep. This is the Dove. Don't turn that dial. Something crazy's going on around here.
You better hear what I say. Look out, trouble's on the way.
On the way, it has arrived. It's in the studio. It has come in the form of two guys that should be censored. Actually, this is great.
You're not the first one to say that, Barry.
What's that? Trouble has arrived?
Yeah, two guys that need to be censored.
Oh, man. Hi, Patrick Doyle. You never know what he's going to do. He's turning out to be like a Tim Elber. He's bringing his own bumper music now. Man, what's this place turning into? Is this what you're playing between counseling sessions?
If I have to.
You know, I would understand that. I don't know how you can be a human garbage can and come out sane. You got to do something to spin out. Actually, that's pretty good. Patrick Doyle's in the house. What are we doing today?
We're going to talk about worship.
Oh, worship!
That's the best worship right
there. There we go. That just takes me right up there. Man, I got my hands in the air here. Oh, baby.
Play it, Dave.
Okay, host, I got to cool off here. All right. Worship. All right, translate all this.
Well, you know, come on now. I got to tell the folks out there that today I have a guest with me, Dave Day.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Who is
Good to see you, man.
Good to be here.
Who is a local worship leader at Cornerstone Christian Church. He's also a pastor, elder there. Dave has been doing music for decades, since he was in high school. And Dave and I go way back as friends and in the music thing. And Dave, you know, I have had more than one worship session in my life listening to music Dave has written and played. And I wanted to talk about worship today with Dave because, A, I believe Dave is kind of an expert on worship since he is a worship leader and a musician and has been doing it a long time. And I think that this is an issue in the church that is causes some difficulty.
Oh, man.
And I also believe that worship is one of the things that it can be one of the things. It is a very healing part of our Christian life. In terms of when we're I know for me, when I've had deep trouble in my life, seeing God through worship has been my salvation more than once. And how I've done that, I mean, I have certainly seen God a few times through some of Dave's guitar solos, through some of his blues licks. And I've also seen it in hymns, and I've also been touched by lots of different kinds of music. And so I just wanted to take on the subject today in general. And we'll probably peel down to some other layers in the days to come. But today I want to take it on in general and talk about the difference. Mostly, one of my main gigs, Dave, and you can jump in when you want, is to talk about the difference between worship that is what I would call man-centered and worship that is God-centered. And
There's a topic we could probably go on for about 10 years.
Uh-huh. And it's very dangerous.
I don't think there's any time, and Dave, you'll understand this, Patrick does, anybody that's been around here knows, the most controversial thing we do on this radio station is music.
Sure.
Yeah. It's either too much, not enough. Right. I mean, I don't mean to discredit those who write critical letters about it. I don't. I take it seriously. But it just seems like music is so personal that if it's either this way or no way.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, I'm just pulling my hair out trying to figure it out.
I was wondering, you look different.
That's an excuse. Instead of losing it, I'm pulling it out. That's good, Dave. I'm going to remember that. Well, you know, I have to tell you, as manager, I sit down, I read some of these letters, and I go, Lord, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? I can't play Amazing Grace 24/7, and I can't play this thing.
You can't play Trouble. Hey, by the way, I need to point out that is not an example of the worship we do.
Come on, Dave.
A different venue.
Yeah, okay. No, but I mean the whole thing called contemporary Christian music. I've been doing this generational science research now. It seems like eclectic music, and I'm talking the 20s something, can go from a hard metal song, and they're discovering Walk the Line with Johnny Cash and everything in between, and like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm kind of going, well, maybe we're turning a corner here. I don't know.
Music is an extremely powerful thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, apart from the scriptural, biblical aspect of it, music
Well, probably more better to say because of it. Music has the ability to move people in a way that nothing else does.
Amen to that.
You know, just the fact that you were talking about when you were playing that song earlier, that you were jumping around or had your hands up. But, you know, it moves people emotionally. It moves them physically. It can move people spiritually. And, you know,
absolutely.
God has created something with music that is so powerful. And so I think that's part of the reason we see these responses that we see to different kinds of music. It is very personal to a lot of people. But in worship, it's interesting because we've taken music and we've made this personal, the personal taste that we have regarding music, we've made that the standard for worship music.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful of that. We have to be sure to go to the scriptures and find out what kind of music is appropriate for worship. And not saying what kind of music is appropriate across the board, because like the music that you were just playing,
mm-hmm.
My personal opinion is I would never play that song in a worship service. That's not appropriate for a worship service. It is, however, appropriate if I'm out in a park doing a concert or in a nightclub or some other kind of venue.
Mm-hmm.
But for worship music, I personally wouldn't go for that. You know, I think that worship music needs to have certain elements to it to be scriptural and right. And so I think there's a lot of people that feel that way, and different people have different opinions on what those aspects are, and that's why we're getting what
they call
the worship
wars. Should we bring back the harp and the lyre and the ram's horn? I mean, you know, if you want to do biblical worship,
I think that there's certainly room for that. I don't think that's the idea behind Scripture saying that. I mean, those are the instruments they had then, you know.
But you ought to read some of my letters.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've read some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a worship leader. I do this too.
Yeah.
I've been called the son of Satan.
Well, what do we do? I mean, at the same time, music is very personal, and it is generational.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an old song to you guys is not an old song to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you guys were, rock and roll started with me, and you guys grew up with it.
Yeah.
You know, and you take somebody that's me and older, and they go, you know, you guys lost it. I mean, this is nothing more than. But at the same time, it is the great vehicle to catch fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And really, but see, now you're talking about a whole different thing. You know, that isn't necessarily worship. That's evangelistic outreach, which that song that you played at the beginning, that's what that was designed for. And so that in that venue, it's perfect for that. You know, and there's room for different musical tastes there and
what's
styles.
What's the deal going from man-centered to God-centered? So describe for me and our listeners, what is worship music? What is it?
Well, first of all, I think we need to be careful not to define worship just as the music. I think that's a common thing that happens in church is, you know, when we go to a church service, there's the music time, and then there's a time when the pastor preaches.
Right.
And the music time is always referred to as the worship time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, historically and biblically, the worship service is the entire service. It includes the preaching, all the elements of the service. It's not just the music. And so I think that in our culture, in our generation, we've gotten to the point where we look at worship as just being a musical thing. And we just need to start off with understanding that's not the case. Worship is our response to God.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever, you know, setting that we're in, mm-hmm. and whatever it is we're responding to, it's not merely just singing and music as we've kind of defined it in the recent
Pastor
culture.
Okay, Pastor Dave, you get up there with your band. You bless me if you can.
Give it your best shot, pal.
Give it the best shot. See if you can move me, buddy.
Boy, I've had audiences like that.
Yeah.
No, and see, that's a good point, too. I know you say that in jest, but, you know, it's not up to me as a worship leader to move anybody. That's not my job as a worship leader. My job as a worship leader is to provide the environment for God's people to come into worship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the scriptures command us. They tell us that, first of all, you know, and we're talking about corporate worship right now. When we come into God's presence in corporate worship, and that's what we're doing, it's because He's called us to come into His presence. It was His idea.
That's right.
You know, in our times, you know, at least in my environment that I grew up in, it's been more of a thing where, you know, it was our idea to come together and we pray and we sing and we plead with the Lord to please be among us.
Mm.
But really, if you look at the scriptures, He's the one that's called us together for the holy convocation, the holy meeting, the gathering together of His people. And it's His idea. He's already there. And so our job as individual Christians and as the body of Christ corporately is to come in and worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
So as a worship leader, it's not particularly my job to move you to worship. You're already there because God has told you to be there, and God is the one who provides the grace and the mercy and the ability for you to worship.
Right.
My job is to be responsible as a worship leader and organize the service and the flow of the service in a way that it centers, you know, it stays God-centered like we're talking about.
Right, right. And I think the point you're making, Dave, is the beginning of the me-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
When we show up and we're saying, okay, Dave, worship leader boy, come on now. It's your job to move me. You're already on the wrong foot. You're already thinking about you.
Yeah.
This is not about you.
Right.
This is about God. If you think about it for a moment, what has God done to allow you to be in his church? You should be in hell.
Yeah.
You should be destroyed. But instead, he has given you, put within you, his very own perfection and righteousness. Therefore, you're there to give thanks to him for not killing you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really start to think
about it. That's it in a nutshell.
We have to begin to recognize what's going on here. Worship should be a response to understanding God's overwhelming goodness, not, okay, God, I'm here for the feel good. I'm ready. You're already on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at you, not him. Scripture says if we see him, we will be changed. If you see you, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, traditions get into the mix here.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Whether denominational traditions or whatever tradition you may come from. There's an old saying, whatever it took to win you to Christ usually takes to keep you in Christ.
Mm.
So if you were won through entertainment, you got to be entertained to stay there. But you guys are so right. I get involved in a lot of ministries, a lot of churches, mm-hmm. and I love it. I love the diversity of the various denominations and all that. I mean, mm-hmm. I do see a common thread,
mm-hmm.
and the common thread is our ways the way.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay. Well, you got to go to your buddy across the street over there. He thinks his way is the way, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love the diversity of going to various churches, and I speak at various churches, and I'm honored to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, it's really interesting. It's kind of like, you know, we have to do it this traditional way or we really haven't had church. And I thought, well, the whole concept of worship has been reduced down to a form.
Or a style.
Or a style.
Which is horrendously, I think, idolatry. It's idolatry as far as I'm concerned, because what we're worshiping is our style, and God is not I don't believe.
Well, I was
taught
in Bible college that if God couldn't change your message from your chair to the pulpit, you had no business being in the pulpit.
Mm.
So in other words, you got to stay so sensitive that if God wanted to do something different,
mm-hmm.
that you're just a vehicle, an instrument that He could use to bring that difference to. But no, man, we got to have our three songs. We got to take our offering. We got to give our announcements. We got to put the preach up there. He's got to be out by 8:25 because at 8:26 we're going to do a closing prayer. I mean, you know, and I don't mean to be critical here, but we have come into that kind of a form, you know.
I think with the we need to be careful, though, because form in and of itself is not bad.
Amen to that.
If you look in the scriptures, when it comes to, again, we're talking about congregational worship, God set a form for Israel to follow in the Old Testament.
Liturgy,
right.
Right.
And so form in itself is not bad. What happens, though, and this is what we see in the Old Testament, we see Israel do all the time.
Right.
And we see in church history, we've seen that we've done this. You know, it's going on to this day, is that the form becomes the focus.
Right.
And we do. We start to worship the form, like you're saying. And the form becomes rote, and it becomes routine and dry. And it's just formalism at that point. When God put the form in there, it wasn't for that purpose. It was for the purpose of guiding his people into a correct, God-centered worship.
Right.
And what happens is we get focused on the form, and, you know, we get kind of picky about that, and make you know, we're not being careful with it. We're not seeing the content of it. That's the thing. The purpose for the form is to focus us on the content or the object of our worship, who's God.
Right.
And so form isn't bad. It's what we do with it. You know, you're talking about tradition. Tradition, you can't get away from it.
Some liturgy is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. But when you go through the different methods or forms that we, and I think you guys are right, sometimes we have a tendency to worship the form. It has to be done this way. And, you know, you just kind of wonder if God's out there kind of tapping his foot. When you guys get done, I'll come here. You know?
Well, I wonder that, you know, a lot of times about a lot of things.
Let me go to the phone. Whoop, what happened to him?
disappeared.
What happened to our caller? Oh, hold on. We'll get it back here in just a moment. But you know what I'm saying? I tell you what I do. I have a little thing that I've done through the years, and it's been kind of fun to do. I get a lot of pastors in my office for various reasons. And you create relationships with them, and it's wonderful. It really is. But I have this one underlying question I ask every pastor sooner or later that visit my office. I ask them this: could God call you away from your ministry, your church, today? We ought to see the reaction of that one.
Could God call you away from your ministry?
He'd call you away from your church today.
Sure. Mm-hmm. God's God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but think about that.
Yeah, yeah. What are you invested in your church?
Well, no, they got their fingers around it so tight.
That's right.
Sure, sure.
That I never... What?
Well, I think you bring up a good point. We have to remember that it's God's church.
Absolutely.
And we are servants in God's church.
Amen to that.
As pastors, our job is not to make it our thing. Our job as pastors, as leaders, is to study the scriptures and figure out the way, discover the way God set forth. You know, we're talking about liturgy and form. There, you know, we need to study the scriptures and find out what is a biblical liturgy and not just make up our own as we go, which we see a lot going on.
Okay, let's squeeze in some calls here. Hi, Robert. Thanks. Sorry, we lost you. We got you back.
Well, yeah, well, hey, you know, I was lost and I got back, so I figured one of these ways, God's finally going to find a way to get through to you two. But anyway, my contention here is that a lot of churches go with the form like the Pharisees did instead of going with what the content is.
Mm.
And, you know, they're just getting too tied up in, well, this is the way we do it,
mm-hmm.
instead of the way Christ wanted them to think about it.
I just think that is so subjective, because that also suggests there's another way, and that becomes the form.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's a personal thing we're trying to communicate here.
And that's why I think it's really important what Dave is saying, is we have to see that God did give some instruction about this in the Scripture. And that's what we have to look to, not our personal preference. Mm-hmm. We have to abandon ourselves for what God has instituted. And I think it's a real good idea to have some healthy debate over what that is.
Yep, good. All right, thanks, Robert. Rebecca, hi, you're next, Rebecca. I didn't mean to cut you off, Robert. I thought you were done, so I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Good morning. Well, I'm a fairly new Christian. I've only been a Christian for 3 years, a little bit over 3 years. And before, as well as after, I traveled to Europe a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've kind of made it a point to look at different churches while I've been traveling.
Uh-huh.
In America, the church is quite different than in Europe and also in Africa. And I think that I enjoyed your discussion, because I'm actually a performer, and so I know a little bit about music and that aspect of the worship service. But what I was going to say is I observed that in America, the pulpit, if you will, is more for the pastor, the speech giver, the speaker. It's not a matter of worship. It's a matter of, I learned this, and I'm going to expostulate now about it, and let you know about my good things I've learned, and hope that you'll think they're good too, and give me a little pat on the back. And I'm sorry to be convicting, but about it, or maybe it comes across as condemning, but that's been my experience. The other thing is, I want to just caution you that when someone comes into the service that is not a Christian or is a new Christian, they don't know all of the Bible. They don't know traditions. They don't know about liturgy or denominations and things like that. So you need to be considering that you're setting an example.
Okay, let's let them come on all that. You bring up some great points. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I think she brings up some good points. You know, talking about the pulpit and the preacher and such. One thing I would say is, in America, we have what we call, well, you know, our whole culture is consumer oriented,
right.
And it is definitely in our church culture as well. And we come to church, a lot of us, and I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush here, but I am, I guess. A lot of us come to church. I know I've done it, with the idea in mind of, you know, what am I going to get out of this today?
That's right.
Am I going to like the worship leader that's up there today, or am I going to not like that style of music, mm-hmm. or am I going to like what the pastor's saying or not like mm-hmm. it? It's a consumer mentality. It's right. It's like, you know, I don't shop at this store because I don't like the deals they're giving me or the products they're offering. We mm-hmm. treat church that way. And so yeah. I think that's very anti-biblical. And so I think when we come in, well, what's happened is the church has become, because it wants to keep people, it wants to bring people in, the church has kind of said, okay, we've got to meet people where they're at, so we're going to make sure that these consumer people are happy in our midst. And so yeah. you get entertainer type pastors or right. worship leaders up there. It becomes a celebrity kind of model of the pastor.
Well, you know, I don't know how we can avoid one thing, and that is a church. This isn't a bad thing. It's just it's an obvious thing. Churches really are built around a personality. They really are.
Yeah. They are. And that's what I'm talking about.
And
yeah.
so it's a very delicate thing. All right, yeah. let's squeeze in a couple more calls. I'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Camille, we'll take you first. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi, Camille.
Tuned in a few minutes ago, but I just wanted to kind of ask two questions or pose two positions and see what you guys think. First of all, when Jesus is condemning the Pharisees, especially in Matthew 23, he was saying, you know, you tithe your mint and your cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law. You should have done the former without neglecting the latter,
right.
which gives weight to both the form and the heart that's going yep. along with it. So Jesus himself said that you need both.
That's right.
And, you know, and thinking about that as far as worship goes, how you can't throw out one without the other. And the other thing that I found just in song selection and is that if the pastor is called to preach the full counsel of God, worship leaders are called to provide the full counsel of God in their song selection. So a lot of times you don't find a lot of songs on the justice of God or the wrath of God or the pre-incarnation of Christ. There's just, you know, I think that the responsibility of the worship leaders under the direction of the pastor should be, are we covering the full weight of the gospel, mm-hmm. or are we just focusing on God's love or the joy I have of being a Christian? Is it all about me? Is the song very man-centered,
right.
or is it God-centered? And that's, right. I'm just going to throw that out there. You go.
All right, thank you.
You may have already covered that. Like I said, I just tuned in a little while ago.
You brought up some great stuff. Thanks, Camille.
Thanks, Matt.
Let me take a quick break, guys. You can gather your thoughts on how to respond to that. We'll be right back.
In news headlines, while investigators look for possible links to international terror groups, 12 men accused in an alleged scheme to blow up Canadian targets are in court today. The arrests have prompted U.S. authorities to step up inspections of traffic crossing the border into the U.S. Iraq's prime minister is promising to move ahead in efforts to curb the ongoing sectarian and militia violence. The pledge comes amid a series of brazen attacks, including yesterday's kidnappings of 50 people in broad daylight in Baghdad. 9 severed heads were found northeast of Baghdad today. A suburban Chicago student faces felony harassment charges after allegedly posting a threat against a school official in his MySpace.com blog. Police say the teen posted the threat at the beginning of the school year, but it wasn't discovered until yesterday. Fines of more than $140,000 are being proposed after a Boise Cascade wood plant worker was killed by a clogged chipping machine. And an Oregon field of winter wheat could test the Measure 37 law affecting farmland owned by family-held corporations. I'm Steve Johnson. Now you're up to date with the latest news on The Dove.
As a station supported by your gifts, The Dove appreciates your partnership. Some have decided to do so through their business, such as P.K. Hallinan's Children's Books, sharing the message of Christian love with young readers all across America. P.K. Hallinan's books use playful rhyme and colorful art to offer character-building Christian values in a gentle and entertaining way. And Tark's Market and Talent for all your grocery needs, including a full-service deli, bakery, and custom meat-cutting department. Thank you for supporting The Dove.
Okay, you be the judge. By the way, is that you playing the guitar?
Yes, it is.
And you're obviously a professional guitar player.
I try to be.
And do you do lessons?
I do, yes.
Really?
That's my main way of making a living.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Stan doesn't pay anything? Well, what about the what's the deal over there? Come on. Come on, Stan. Come
well, I'd like to say
here.
It's because it's my I'm worshiping by doing it for free.
It is a spiritual worship.
Yeah, there we go.
No, Romans okay. So is that what you really, you do?
Yeah.
You give guitar?
That's my main way of making a living. Yeah.
Well, good. All kinds, electric, acoustic?
Yep. And, you know, I get a lot of actual worship leaders coming in. And so it's kind of neat because we're not only talking about the aspects of playing guitar, but we get into discussions about worship and things like that. So.
What's how do people get a hold of if they want to do that? You can't. You got number, Dave. We're going to need a number here, Dave.
Oh, okay, yeah. So now would be the time.
That would be
the,
yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. 664.
Okay.
3009.
What? Do you have room for more students?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
664-3009 if you're interested in guitar lessons, beginning all the way up through...
Yeah, beginning through intermediate, pretty much.
Good. Yeah. Good for you.
Dave also is a killer slide player.
Oh, all right.
That's a style of guitar. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get on the slide and play drums and play guitar.
All right, 664-3009, Dave Day, if you're interested in some guitar lessons. And,
yeah, you get guitar lessons and worship leading lessons, which I think is pretty cool.
Well, Camille brought up some great points, that Jesus was interested in form,
mm-hmm.
yep. But he was also interested that the form didn't preempt the heart.
Yep.
So
right.
Somewhere the form creates the structure by which the adoration goes upward,
mm-hmm. yep.
goes vertical. I think you guys are so right on. We walk in pre-programmed of what we think we want out of it or we want to get out of it. We don't see ourselves as contributors. We just see ourselves as professional critiquers of what's going on the surface.
Yeah. Consumers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's. Should I respond to that?
Yes,
right now?
Yes.
Okay. It's telling me that a caller wants to know if this is the kind of music that we would use in a worship service. As I said earlier, no.
Okay. This is just having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You put together a great album called Sold Out Blues and just some of the music off of his fun album.
Yes.
That music was designed really as an
rap session.
As an evangelical tool.
Evangelistic
right.
outreach kind of
right.
thing.
Right. Yeah. Playing in places where there were people who were.
So, would you
believers.
Sing a hymn? Is it a hymn?
Oh, yeah. Hymns are great.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, as a worship leader and the guys that I lead worship with at Cornerstone, we've been really bringing in a lot more hymns over the last few years to our worship services. We still do praise choruses and some of the contemporary stuff, but we do a lot more hymns and psalms, actually.
I talked to, had dinner one night with a worship leader of the largest church in Ireland, and they had just done the Ireland videos with the Gaither at their church.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big place.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have gone through the whole cycle of contemporary to ballads to
right.
long courses and worships and all that. They're now back to at least three hymns
mm-hmm.
in a set.
Right. Hymns are really important because and the generation I grew up in the church, we got away from hymns. It was more all about, you know, praise music, that kind of thing. But hymns are so important because they are typically what we call didactic. In other words,
yep.
they have teaching qualities
mm-hmm.
about them.
Absolutely.
When you look at the lyrics of a hymn, you're almost getting a sermon right there.
Exactly.
And
generally you are.
And what's great about that is as Christians sing hymns, not only are we worshiping God, but we are also learning about our doctrine, about our theology, and it's a great way of teaching the people of God.
Have we dishonored mm-hmm. those time-honored hymns by redoing them a little bit as far as the music that's behind it?
That's a tough call for me because I'm one who thinks that, you know, if the barn needs painting, paint it. You know, Jay Vernon, I'm in agreement. I know he was talking about makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
But music, I think songs can
please,
be that way,
please.
Too.
Please, yeah, paint the barn. Yeah.
I think songs can be that way, too. But I do think that we need to be very careful and respectful and understand, you know, what we're messing with when we do that. And,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, there's been so much of this done just for marketing and commercial purposes.
Right.
Right there, the intent is wrong to begin with. You know?
What are young people looking for? I mean, why do we have to have a young person service and an adult service? Can't we bring those back together?
That would be the ultimate. I would love that. I mean, I'm one of those people that think we should. I think that's scriptural. I don't see anywhere in Scripture any kind of segregation of the different demographics of
no.
the church.
Actually, what you see is incorporation.
You see incorporation, yeah, because we're a body. We're a family.
That's right.
We're a congregation. And to divide us up like that, I'm even opposed to, and I know this may not go along with some folks, I'm opposed to the different styles of services. You know, some, right. a lot of churches are doing the traditional, then the contemporary, right. and then right. whatever. I don't think that's good because mm-hmm. we're still dividing up mm-hmm. our body. We right. need to be all together as much right. as possible. Right. Now, I know logistically that's impossible in some churches because they're just so huge. They got to have multiple services.
But they don't have to have different styles.
They don't need – yeah, we should be
– to please
see,
people.
In worship, there's so much going on. Gosh, we're getting into some deep stuff here, but it's not just – that individual group of people at the moment, but you know we've got right. all of church history. You know, when we do a worship service that has a liturgy that follows scriptural, you know, guidelines, right. and we're singing old hymns that the church has sung for centuries.
I see this thing coming full circle, Dave, yeah. Because churches are saying, you know, we're not going to have four services going on at the same time. We're going to bring it back together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is starting to do that. Yeah,
we're going to see. We're going to teach young people, say from. I'll just say maybe middle school, maybe even younger, mm-hmm. to sit in these services and learn what the adults are doing.
Right.
Primarily to teach them because they're the next generation leader.
That's right.
How do you go from a youth service to an adult service and consider yourself ready?
Well, and let's, you know? Let's look at another aspect of as a past youth minister. What we do in church generally, I think, is a huge disservice to youth, which is we take the most junior, unprepared pastor of the group. And we put them with the youth, mm-hmm. which really needs the most senior, seasoned pastor to be with them because they're a tough crowd in the sense that they have a lot of questions.
Well,
and so what
kill
we
you.
so what we do is we put somebody who's really more like their buddy, not their pastor.
All right, let me see if I can squeeze in one call. Debbie, quickly, go ahead.
Hey, hi, you guys. I am hi. So happy to hear you talk about the hymns that like you've been doing. I have so missed the old hymns because they do everything that you said that they do. They preach to you in a way that sometimes mm-hmm. preaching won't do. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to put a plug in for the old hymns.
Well, they're coming back. They're on the way back.
They are, and it's so wonderful. Good old Alan Jackson has come out with a CD with nothing but the old hymns.
There you go. Got to go.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Well. Alan Jackson. Now there's a quantum leap, but you know that's what's happening.
Dude. It is.
It's so eclectic sin, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. Well, and hymns are great. And it's interesting. She mentioned the Alan Jackson thing. I don't know Alan Jackson's heart, and so I'm not even trying to determine mm-hmm. that. But it's interesting. Like I was saying earlier, hymns have become the thing to market now. I mean, how many hymns albums have we seen?
There are a lot.
Coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what we need to remember is that, you know, again, these are songs for the worship of God, for God's people
it's about,
to worship Him
right.
with.
It's about Him.
Yeah, and we need to be careful, and I try to be careful anyway. I'll just leave it on me. I try to be careful to not get caught up in the fad of hymns, but yet, you know, I'd rather do the worship aspect right. of it and stay focused
well,
on
and
that.
Well, and the thing that's important here is that the hymn rehearses the truth of who we're worshiping.
Yeah.
That is the bottom line. Like David said in Psalm 42, I love how the message renders it. It says, when my soul is downcast, when I'm crying the blues, I rehearse everything I know of you.
Right.
And soon I'll be praising again.
Yeah.
So the goal here is to get our eyes fixed on God. If we do, I guarantee you'll be changed.
Yep. You guys, you scratched the surface. You kind of
barely
picked it.
Yeah.
Come back, Dave.
We will.
Yeah.
And,
we'll
if you want to talk to Dave about guitar lessons, I didn't know this was your tent-making business, but let's get him some more students. 664-3009 for beginning and intermediate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
664-3009, Dave Day and Patrick Doyle. It's 301-5500 for help.
Yeah.
And thanks, you guys.
You bet.
Thank
now,
you
talk about confused. Okay.
Okay.
Take a southern boy.
That's me.
And stick him in Jerusalem.
How to say hello tonight. But this old country accent is just something I can't hide. Shalom, y'all. Hey, howdy, how you been? It's been a while, so here's a smile from all your southern friends. Shalom, y'all. And you can sing it too, cause it's our way of trying to say we're proud to be with you. Shalom, y'all.
Balance Point, a part of weekdays beginning at 8 o'clock on The Dove. Coming up, Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.